Our God is an awesome God. I am going to intend, this will be my intent for Sunday evenings. By the way, we will not meet next Sunday evening or the one after. Next Sunday is a missionary, and we've got the fellowship dinner, no Sunday evening service, and the one after that is Father's Day. We won't meet again until June 26. But my intent is to charge to the troops, just things that the ones that are here in the Sunday evening to encourage us and strengthen us. Obviously, if I feel God a different direction, something like that. But I had a few weeks ago, and it was out of the Matthew 23, and it was lambasting the Pharisees, and woe to you, and woe to you. And it was the Bible, and it was true, and I felt like God was directing it and sharing it, but I felt like, you know what, maybe I missed a signal on that, because sometimes God will give me a message, but it doesn't have to be for that next Sunday. You just have that, and the time will come, because I thought our group here, and again, I can't say that God won't intervene at times and do something different, but I feel like our group here, we need to hear something, strength for the week, and not for the upcoming week, also for the week, but that's going to be my intent. So you might pray in that direction too, and so that's what I looked at, starting this week. And actually, I do this a lot on Sunday evenings. I don't always do it, but I have done it over the course of the over 3 years that we've been here, and if you go back and look at a lot of the messages, it has been along that line. And tonight also, and I'm reading, this God, our God who we're speaking of, his way is perfect. And I had mentioned this morning, I said, what was it? I was going to put the title in the bulletin, Who is Your God, or something like that. And I thought, nope, I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is let God speak to us. It's David's song of exaltation and praise. It said he spoke the words of the Lord. He spoke the words of this song to the Lord, and it was after a great victory and after a great deliverance. And it's a description of who your God is, whether you know it or not. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have believed in him for the forgiveness of sins and has received his gift of eternal life, your God is an awesome God. You may not be living like he's an awesome God and a great God and a majestic God, but this is who it is, and I think we need reminded of these things. Just as I speak of reading through the Bible and we get continually refreshed and reminded in the washing of the water by the Word, and I think we need, it doesn't hurt. You know what? Big deal, and I don't know that I've very possibly have preached out of 2 Samuel since I've been here. I don't really know. I didn't check. But one thing I thought of, so big deal if I preached this 3 years ago or 2 years ago. If I read through it and it greatly encourages my heart, duh. Oh, well, look back here. I preached on this September the 15th, of 2014. I don't want to repeat it. No. It's just so encouragement to the saints. Building up of the saints, and this is a good one. This is a good one because it's going to describe who your God is, who my God is. I did a little bit of web searching. I did like God is great, and to see what I could come up with, and I got this from In Touch Ministries from Charles Stanley. He said, if you ask a group of people what God is like, you will receive many different answers. Some will say he is a force somewhere in the cosmos. Others will picture a benevolent grandfather type who overlooks little sins. Most of the time, the description given will reveal more about the speaker than about the real Jehovah. In fact, the true God might surprise you. And he goes on to say, and I didn't include this, he says, one thing you'll never hear God refer to himself as is it. You will never hear it, not it. Not some impersonal, not the force. God, personal God, Yahweh, provider, everything about him. He reveals so much. We should be thrilled with the portrait that God gives of himself to those who are in a covenant relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And he doesn't leave it vague. He doesn't leave it gray. He just goes on and on. And David will go on and on in 2 Samuel 22 in this great song of praise. I also found this was very interesting by John Piper. And he's writing this. This is from a message he preached at a church. And so he's going to, when you hear him refer to your pastor, Brent, he's speaking of the pastor at this church that he is visiting. But he says, one of the things that your pastor, Brent, and I have in common is the overwhelming persuasion that God is great. God is very great, and his greatness is unsearchable. But not only that, every pastor and every Christian would agree with that, that God is great. He said, what Brent and I believe is that this is central to all of life. And I'm reading this and I'm saying amen and amen, because this is in my mind, this is what I'm thinking, how central this is, that we realize who our God is, how great our God is, how majestic our God is. Nothing is insurmountable in our lives because of our great God. It is central. So I read that and I'm saying amen and amen. Okay. What I believe, that what Brent and I believe, is that this is central to all life. This is relevant to everything we think and feel and do. Him, John Piper, continuing, the unparalleled, incomparable, unequaled, unrivaled greatness of God is utterly important in the ministry. In building a church and caring for people and spreading the gospel, we believe that even when people don't know it, what they need most and are most starved for is a vision of an awesomely great God and fellowship with an infinitely great God. And this is the God who David says that and more in this psalm. It's in 2 Samuel, but it is a psalm. And the title is in the first verse, 2 Samuel 22, verse 1. And the heading could be, and David spoke to the Lord the words of this psalm on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. David speaks to the Lord in a song on a day of deliverance. What we're going to see is that David speaks to God, and David tells God who he is. He describes God to God. It's his exaltation, this overflowing. And I had mentioned this morning that verse I read in Sunday school. It was Psalm 119. It was, open thou mine eyes. I read it out of the King James. That's how I had it in the book. Open thou mine eyes that I may see wondrous things from thy law. And I ask us, I said, this past week, have you opened your Bible and have seen wondrous things? Because that is the nature of God's word. Now, I know how some people may take that, and we've all been in that situation, that someone wants to show their spirituality off, don't they? And they were, you know, they just, they might, you know, they don't want to be, they don't, they want to make sure they stay humble, but they also want to let you know how many hours they prayed that past week, or they want you to know how much they've been reading their Bible, or they, but you know, they, again, they want to make sure they stay good and humble, but they also want to make sure you know all these things. That's not why I'm doing that. Yet am I prodding when I ask, when you open your Bible, do you hear wondrous things? Does God capture you? I'm not doing that to throw a guilt trip on anybody. I'm not doing that to alienate. I'm doing that because that is what God offers in his word. That is his word. And if we're not getting that, we're missing something. I'm not trying to make people feel bad with that. What I'm trying to do is create a thirst, because this is our God. He is an awesome God, and his word is awesome. It's pure. It's refined. It's infinite. It's forever. I'm not saying every time you read your Bible, my Bible reading is a discipline. Every time I read it, I'm not just all fluttery up to the heavenlies. But I'm telling you what, if it's not happening, something's wrong with your Bible reading and your devotional life. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be judgmental. I'm saying this is the nature. It's God's holy word. Now, shouldn't something happen. Something holy happen, something wondrous happen, something majestic happen, something great happen, if we're reading the words of a great God. Can I hear an amen? I heard an amen or two. And I just exult. Verse 2, David said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge." This is our God. Is that who lives and dwells in us? And we're going to see some of the things that David confronted, the very real things of life, and it's still that God. Is God your rock? Is it past the words? Is it past our mind? Is it past the abstract concept? Is God your rock? Is he your stability in life? Not the economy, not the political scene, not world events, nothing you're depending on, no bank account, no savings, no investments. Is God our rock? Is God our fortress? Does God deliver you? My God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. This is how I wrote a song, one of the first songs I ever wrote, and it's when all these things are falling apart. And then I said, and I'll run back to my Lord, back to my King. And Lori told me after, when she was really little, she thought that the name of somebody was I'll Run. Yeah. But it was that idea. Who do we run to when stuff hits the fan, when the odds are against us, when it's the battle is insurmountable? Who is our rock? Who is our fortress? Where do we go for refuge? Who do we talk to when our heart is broken and in agony? That is the person, the Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man or the woman who takes refuge in him, because there is where you see the goodness of God. Continuing in verse 3. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. David describes God. He's speaking to God, and he's describing God to God. And this, folks, is our God. This is our God. Jesus Christ, yesterday, today, and forever. This is our God. David describes the Lord. Next, David calls upon the Lord in his distress. In verse 4, it says, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. For the waves of death encompassed me, the torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of Sheol entangled me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God I called. Look out, here it comes. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry came to his ears. Can we just stop for a minute and try to grab a picture of that? God in his holiness, in the holiest place in all the universe, in his temple. David calls out to him as we call out to him. David cries out in his time of distress. And what does he say? He heard my voice. When the truth of that hits us, it should just wham us a good one. Just praise our God. He hears our voice in this holy place, this place where one day we will be there with him before his throne. But he hears us now. My cry came to his ears. Then David gets, he speaks of God. You know, we talked about God moving heaven and earth, and he goes with great imagery here in picturing his God and his movement toward his child. Then the earth reeled and rocked, the foundations of the heaven trembled and quaked because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils and devouring fire from his mouth. Glowing coals flamed forth from him. He bowed the heavens and came down. Thick darkness was under his feet. He rode on a cherub and flew. He was seen on the wings of the wind. He made darkness around him his canopy, thick clouds, a gathering of water. Out of the brightness before him, coals of fire flamed forth. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning and routed them. Then the channels of the sea were seen, at the foundations of the world were laid bare. Our God is an awesome God. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He rescued me from my strong enemy, from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. This is our God, our strong enemy, those who hate us. We have wonderful freedom in our country now. We don't, the weird things, I'll tell you what, we were watching this, it wasn't an English detective story, but it was very similar. It was like English speaking, but it was in Sweden, and they talked about these radical Christians who were against homosexuality, and they taught creationism, and they spoke of it like a cult. So we have wonderful freedoms. Now, we don't know, but folks, we don't have to be afraid. If our God, if we are living, and he is, God is our God, our rock, our fortress. He reigns from heaven above. He is sovereign Lord over all. He lifts men up and he puts men down, nations up and nations down. We should. I'm not saying that we aren't ever anxious or we aren't ever hit with fear, but I'm talking about a mode of life. We are not to be fearful, trembling, reactive, but our trust is in our strong tower, our God, our rock, the strong enemy he rescued him from those hated him, from those who were too mighty. See, sometimes we want to be made stronger than the enemy. God doesn't promise that, but he is stronger than the enemy. And we have ultimate victory promised through Jesus Christ. It may not be the victory that we want at the moment, and we've all had those where we've dealt with someone difficult, and we wish that God would deal with them. But he is sovereign Lord. He is rules in his providence. We leave it all before him. So David calls upon the Lord in his distress. Next, in verses 19 to 24, David recounts God's rescue of him when his enemies attacked in the midst of disaster. Have you ever had that feeling that things, I mean, your day could not be going worse, or your week, or a period of time in your life, you are down and out. And here comes your contending enemy. Well, what was underdog? Excuse me, just a little bit of silliness. There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Did I have it right? Okay, I see some heads. This is one of the things that stood out to me. Verse 19. Those strong enemy, those who hated, those who were too mighty for him, they confronted me. Now, it'd be bad enough that they just confronted him, but it says, but they confronted me in the day of my calamity. The wheels had fallen off. It couldn't be worse. Again, this day or this week or this time period in our lives when we're struggling and the enemy is just pounding us, and then here comes the contentious one. Well, what does God do? But the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh, was my support. That is our God. He's on, we say, if you ever pick teams, I'll pick him. I want him on my side. Well, God is on our side forever. Forever on our side, this awesome God. David recounts God's rescue of him when his enemies attacked in the midst of disaster. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. I'm in verse 19 again. But the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Do you know that God delights in you? I mean, do you really know that? I know, it's a head scratcher, isn't it? I'm telling you. We got that mirror at the end of the hallway, and that poor old guy I see walking down the hall sometimes, or some of the things that I do or say or think. And, well, why does God delight in me? Because I'm purchased by the blood of the Lamb. I'm his. If you've believed in him, you're his. This is your God. There's no letting go. This is our God. And he sees something in me that I don't even see in me. And he's working and perfecting it. And then John 3 tells us when we see Jesus Christ, we will be like him. We see him as he is. And there's going to be, we have justification. We come to Christ. We believe. We receive the gift of eternal life. Sins forgiven. We're on the salvation path. Sanctification. God's working on us. But in that moment, all this work that he's doing that he sees now that we don't see, when we see Christ in instant, that old trumpet will sound, and man, will we be looking good, and we'll be rising in the air. Got amen on that one? Amen, isn't it? It's God's truth, isn't it? We don't have to spin it. We don't have to hype it. You know what we do have to do? We have to believe it. And we have to live it. That's where it stirs our souls. And folks, that's where it rings true to the world around us. The hope, the peace of God, the joy of God. You don't have to have a big smiley face to have the joy of the Lord and to be holding the peace and joy, the forever comfort of knowing that God is my refuge, my strength, my high tower, my fortress, my rock, my deliverer. Man, it's a long list. And David doesn't even cover them all in this writing. This is who our God is. It says, he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. We are God's delight. It talks about in Ephesians, his glorious inheritance in the saints. Not our glorious inheritance, it's speaking of. That's how you want to tend to read it when we go there. But he's talking about, and why is it like that? Because it's his work, his grace, his power, his resurrection power, working in our lives, bringing his righteousness, bringing his holiness, bringing his beauty, bringing his everything into our lives. Verse 21, the Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and from his statutes I did not turn aside. I was blameless before him, and I kept myself from guilt. And the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his sight. Now what we might do, we might say, well, hang on a minute. Isn't this David the adulterer writing? Isn't this David the murderer writing? Yes, it is. What was his, isn't this David also the man after God's own heart writing? See, we're not talking about it. We can get confused when it says he dealt with me according to my righteousness. It's his faithful living before God. And folks, you don't have to be perfect to be living in a righteous manner. Now, this is a different subject. When we trust in Christ, the positional thing, that the righteousness of Christ is put to our account. We see that in Romans. This is talking about the daily living of that out. And part of that righteous living is the confession of sin. See, that's a mark of a Christian, is a confession of sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin. Well, first of all, he talks in 1 John 1, if we say we have no sin, we're lying, we're calling him a liar. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. And some people just don't understand who the faithful and just one is in that scenario. He is faithful and just. He and will cleanse and forgive us our sins. Okay, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I had to go back to the start to get through it. And David's right living was eyes on God, eyes on God's word. Following it perfectly, no, and none of us will, never put that pressure on yourself. I have found myself doing that. I just preached last week encouraging us, if we've got that heavy, if we're carrying around this heavy weight, if we're taking on too much, we've got that burden, if we're fighting false guilt, we've taken on that yoke of slavery, that legalism. And the Lord spoke to me this week. He says, Dave, he said, you know you're doing that, don't you? He said you're trying to carry things that you don't need to carry. And we'll do that, and we'll struggle with that. We'll never get it perfectly. And we want to do it. We want to do everything so well. And we want, you know, we can even get into this thing. We just want to please everybody, and we want to, you know, I'm talking about pleasing people in a right way. And we want to be supportive. We want to be everything we can be. And the fact is, we're just not going to. But we could put so much pressure on ourselves and have such a burden. So the Lord said, you know, Dave, you're too much. You're too much of a burden. And we do that to ourselves. And we can hear a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ. And ladies, you seem to struggle with this more. I don't mean that as far as your spirituality is less, but I think you're more sensitive to it and the responsibility thing. But you beat yourselves up too much. It seems like, ladies, and I'm not trying to pick a fight here, don't get upset, but it seems like you do that. You're too responsible on some things, and you pick and this didn't, you did everything you could and you did it well, everything's not going to go, but it's like, oh, you know what, I should have, no, you did everything. David talks about, he talks about here the cleanness of his hands. That's what it is. It's our faithful effort to live a right life before God. And there's nothing like, folks, clean hands and a pure heart and a clear mind. There's nothing beats a clear conscience. And those nagging things that we won't deal with because we refuse to deal with, and they will hinder us, and they will box us in, and they will imprison us. We know what we should do, and we're not doing it. We're afraid we'll lose this or we'll lose that, or this will happen or that will happen. But the clear mind, clean hands, pure heart. And this is the life that David's speaking of here. So I've kept the ways of the Lord. I've already read those verses. Let me go down to verse 26. With the merciful, and now here's the other elements that he introduces. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. We're to be merciful people, aren't we? To be merciful people. With the blameless man, you show yourself blameless. Again, is the blameless man the perfect man or woman? No. No. It's the everything before God. Lord, I will live my life openly and honestly before you, and I will fall short at times, and I will own up to you before that. That is blameless living. And I can tell you, and you can understand this or maybe not understand it, but God in all his holiness and magnificence, but I know the relationship I have with him because of what he has done. And I look forward to being before him. Not because of anything that I've done, but I've had to live an open, honest life, a faithful life. Will we get everything right? No, we will never get everything right. You cannot carry that burden around that you'll get everything right. You can't carry the burden around that if I had just done this, maybe I could have fixed that person or done this. We can't carry that burden. The merciful, show yourself merciful. The blameless with the purified. You deal purely with the crooked. You make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people. Humility, humility, humility. But your eyes are on the haughty to bring them down. You are my lamp, O Lord, and my God lightens my darkness. And I would ask, does he? Is God your lamp? Does his light shine brighter than any light that you have going for you? Shine brighter than your best friend's counsel, brighter than your favorite preacher, brighter. Is his lamp shine brighter? Is his word of truth overrule every other source of insight, counsel, and wisdom that you have? And lastly, this evening, David speaks of God's reward, or David exalts in the perfect way of God, verses 31 to 34. And in ESV, it puts it this way. I didn't see any other translations that have it quite like this, but I just love the way ESV puts it. This God, his way is perfect. And your Bibles do have that, I think, probably without exception, those words. This God, what God? Who are we speaking of? We're speaking of your God. We're speaking of my God. Let's just go back here and review then what God we're talking about. I get my page turned back here all the way, well, back to verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, my refuge, my Savior. This God, back to verse 31. Now his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. See, we will follow God's word, and we don't always know the path that's going to take us down. We can't always figure everything out that'll happen ahead of time, but if we follow that path of Christ will call us to not just intellectually grabbing a hold of truth, but living that truth. Having it fill our lives and follow Jesus Christ on that path, what we will see, the word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? This God is my strong refuge and has made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. And if you've read Hannah Hernard's Hinds Feet on High Places, I don't know if you're familiar. It's a pretty old book now. I imagine it's still being reprinted. But her main character in that is Much Afraid. But little Much Afraid, you know, and they got the valleys and you got the mountains and climbing the mountains, and Much Afraid ends up, you know, begins afraid to trust, but ends up trusting God and climbing and trusting our Lord, trusting his way, trusting his words, specifically down in the details of our lives. And then we will exalt. We will have this same exaltation as David did, as throughout Scripture, when they just erupt in praise and in describing our God. Who is our God? It doesn't matter the world seeing. He reigns from heaven above. Would you join me in prayer? Father, help us to live in view of your greatness, your awesomeness, your majesty. You are all of these things and more. Our rock, our deliverer, our high tower, our refuge, our strength, our Savior, our Creator. You are majesty. You are glory. Lord Jesus, one day you are coming again. Father, we don't want to have that thought by way of fearful reminder, but by way, Father, of stirring our hearts to be watchful and to be ready. Father, that we can have great joy at your coming, that we serve you well. Lord God, that we show our love to you, undying loyalty to you, devotion to you, as we serve you well, as we honor you in everything in our lives. Father, stir in our hearts, in your church corporate across this world, in our fellowship, Mighty One, at Faith Fellowship Church of Tennessee, Illinois. We need to live before a great and mighty God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.